I've loved this series we've been going through. If you've been with us for quite some time, we've been going through this year-long series. It has been a year, and we're getting close to being a year-long now. And we've been working through the whole Bible and what we call the God story. We're seeing how God has worked through all of history, including scriptures and on, to how God has been planning history for us today and how we see the Bible interact with our lives today. And it's been an awesome journey so far, learning about that plan from the beginning of Genesis and on. And we're going to see it all the way through to Revelations and into our day today. God has woven this plan through our lives and through the lives of all of history for us to understand. And so let's journey together farther. Let's see God's intention for us, and more importantly, his intention for the early church, which is where we are landing today in the book of Acts. And we won't get there yet. Let's recap a little bit, because this is a part two. Me and Matt kind of swapped a little bit here. He went after Pentecost, because I really wanted to talk about Pentecost today, and so we're going to be talking about Pentecost, but last week, Pastor Matt shared a little bit about the disciples and their life after Jesus had left and what God was doing through them with the Holy Spirit that he gave to them. And he posed us a challenge. He talked about Peter and John devoting themselves to the work that God wanted them to do. And then he posed to us a challenge. Are we devoted to the things of God? And are we going to be courageous and bold in walking those devotions out? Are we going to do what God has asked us to do? Because the early disciples, they went and did it. But you got to see this first too. The early church, they did not have it as easy as we do today. Maybe it doesn't feel like that, but let me tell you, times were totally different. We think we see a clash of cultures today and where we're at. It was vastly different back then because the early church would have been considered the minority. Christians following Jesus, his way, was a very small few. And the culture would have been considered the Greco-Roman society, so Greek and Roman cultures rampant within culture and society, clashing with what the church was trying to do and trying to figure out. Early Christians would have gone against everything other religions and cultures professed in that time. And as we journey through Acts, the persecutions of the early church that we see, this is where a lot of it came up. When they were pushing against religious leaders, and not just religious leaders of Judaism that was very present in that time too, but also of all these other cultures and religions as well. And the stories that Pastor Matt shared with us, they even exemplified that clash of cultures and religions with the religious leaders that still happen after all that Jesus had done and say. And what we find in Acts, this fascinates me, is that the founders of the early church, the disciples, to put it bluntly, they had no clue what they were doing. They really didn't. They had no example of what church was supposed to be. They didn't have the buildings that we have today, microphones, music, all this amazing things. They had none of it. And to worsen it, they also had just lost Jesus. They were listening to Jesus. They were touching Jesus. They were able to give him hugs and handshakes. They were able to sit face to face with Jesus, the one who taught them everything that they would teach. They just lost Jesus as well. And that fear, it's very evident in these disciples. The fear of losing him, because we read before Jesus was crucified in John 14, he said this, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." You see, Jesus, having been human, he was able to recognize the fears the disciples had. In this whole discourse of Jesus talking with his disciples, he's constantly reminding them, "You know where I'm going, you know who I am, you know who my Father is." And then they're trying to figure out the mystery that Jesus was laying before them. And Jesus, like I said, he's reassuring his disciples. He's saying, "I've got this. I've got a plan." Did anybody ever watch the show The A-Team? You know what I'm talking about? See, Dusty? Yeah, The A-Team? the A-team. Hannibal's always like, I love it when a plan comes together. Jesus, he's got the plan together. He's got it figured out. He knows what's going. He knows what is coming next. And Jesus, again, he said to them in Acts, at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, he says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's an anticipation coming for something big. And throughout the Gospels, we hear of different times when Jesus says that he will send his Holy Spirit to us, that there is someone else coming, promises that someone is on the way to do something great. And then we're led into the beginning of Acts, the reminder of that promise, a gift that's going to come right at the time of their need. And this is where we're going to land today in Acts chapter 2. Let's read the story of Pentecost together. It'll be on the screen, and we're just going to read a few verses from it. There's so much I could dive into, but this is where we're going to get and land mostly in Acts chapter 2, 2 to 6. It says this. Sorry, I just got to get some water here. I just got over a cold, and my throat is like so dry. There we go. It says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then when it looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Here it is, the Holy Spirit sent to God's people. And if you've ever read this story, I can totally understand how this sounds. It sounds wacky and spiritual, and it totally is for good reason. Think about the flames or tongues of fire, a mighty windstorm from heaven resting on people. And I know to our ears it can sound weird, but that is why when we take into context of what they're talking about, something really cool comes to light that the Holy Spirit and the writer of Acts would have known, which his name is Luke. And let me go back a few steps, and we're going to go into the Old Testament for a bit here. Jump back, because God's story, it's working through all of Genesis and on, and so as we move through this, in the time before Jesus was born and walked the earth, this is something we need to know. The Spirit was active in the world, just not necessarily how we see it in Acts here. So the Spirit's role is not just showing up on the scene in Acts chapter 2. It's been throughout all of history as well. Let's look at the windstorm. The windstorm that Luke describes, there's a literary connection with this. And so if you didn't know, the New Testament was written in Greek. It was written in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the words to describe the Greek word for wind is pneuma, and the Hebrew word is ruach. And so those two words both mean wind, both mean spirit. Where else we see this word ruach is in the book of Ezekiel. There's a story where God is described to have breathed onto dry bones. Ruach onto dry bones. He breathes his spirit onto dry bones in the valley. It was this sign that the Jewish religion looked for coming into the final messianic age. The Jewish religion would be teaching when we find Jesus, when we look for Jesus, he will have the Spirit of God on him. Luke uses this fully knowing it's to show this. To show that God was in the room. More than that, the fire that we read, the fire and tongues of fire, Luke uses it in Acts chapter 2 to refer to a visual connection that people in that room would have understood. And if you can recall in our series, we've talked about a few of these moments where fire was present among God's people. Moses and the burning bush, Mount Sinai, it was engulfed in flames when the Lord descended in the Exodus narrative. When Elijah, when he contended with the prophets of Baal, what did he do? God sent down a fire down to take up his sacrifice that Elijah put onto the altar. And there's other instances as well. And what fire represents is God's presence in the Old Testament in a very, very real way, noticeable way, physical way, that you could feel it. And so with these tongues of fire, they're falling and resting onto his people. God's presence is falling now onto his people. And so at Pentecost, this is where it's happening. Everyone in that room is seeing and watching God's presence fall on them. These both, the windstorm, the fire, it's an affirmation. It's not just a supernatural event that's happening. It's something where they go, it's real. It's actually happening. God's Spirit is falling onto us, and they're doing wild and amazing things through it. Speaking in different languages, having these awesome things happen. The difference we see now is that where God's fire would in the Old Testament rest on his chosen people, be with his chosen people, the Israelites in the temple, and through the law, which we'll talk about in a sec, on the Jews that we understand today, his presence didn't just fall on his chosen people in the Bible, it fell on everyone. His access to God was everyone now, not just his chosen people. In the Old Testament, we talked about covenants that God made with his people, specifically the Israelites. And now that covenant has been made new through Jesus Christ. So the access is not only just a something we read and something we say. It's much deeper than that. There is a spiritual thing that cannot be broken with our access to God. When we choose to follow Jesus, when we repent of our sins, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, these are things that cannot be taken away. These are things that will stay with you. And the promise of what God had told his people the Spirit will do, stay with us for the rest of his life. And in this Pentecost moment, God is coming back to his people in a deeper, more personal way than merely being held to a temple or a specific room in the temple. This is where God is now free to his people to follow and worship him in a whole new way. And this personal relationship is something not everyone would have experienced to the extent that we're blessed to receive it today. In the Old Testament, God would have known the Spirit's role in four different ways as they would have been taught and as we understand it today. As we read Scripture in the Old Testament, I'm going to go through those four ways with you today. And the first one was in creation. All that we see around us was created by God's Spirit in relation to God the Father. And so this I'm not getting into today, but God is known, there's something known as the Trinity, and it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God, all as one. It's really hard to explain. There's really no analogy that perfectly makes it understandable, but God was working through his Spirit to create the world. Psalm 33:6, it says this, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed," that's the word ruah, "he breathed the word and all the stars were born." His breath, his wind, his Spirit caused creation to be. And so this is what the Israelites, this is what we understand today, that this is how the world was created. It was through God's Spirit. Which when we see those things manifested, the windstorm, the tongues of fire in Pentecost, it makes a little bit more sense. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself there. Well, I'll bring it back. Okay, back to number two, empowering individuals for service. This was a second area that they would have seen the Spirit work. And there's many examples of the Spirit empowering God's people in the Old Testament, but some are Bezalel. I wanted to say that one because his name is awesome. Bezalel, he was empowered for building the tabernacle in the Old Testament. There was Joshua, who was said to be filled with the Spirit of wisdom. That's in Deuteronomy. The Spirit prepared the judges for Israel, made them be who they were so that they could judge all of Israel. And then Spirit also gave Samson his physical powers. We didn't talk about that story, but maybe you know it, you know, of the hair and the long hair. Don't cut it. It's a good story. But that's the Spirit gave Samson his physical powers. But the Spirit also filled people to prophesy for Jesus, prophesy and gives God's word. Moses, Saul, Ezekiel, Joel, these are names that led the Israelites to understanding God. These were all things that God needed people on earth to do to help him, to show others, to show the Israelites what and who God was, is. And so that was the second one. The third one, they would have actually known in the renewal of creation. And this one we see through David, actually. This one's really great. There's an external renewal that's talked about in the Old Testament. I want to even talk about this internal renewal of creation that happens in King David. And so Psalm 51:10, it says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me, and do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." So King David is here too, who had also done terrible things in some people's eyes. He was on the run from Saul trying to kill him. This isn't in this moment, but this is just a little bit of his life. King David on the run from Saul trying to kill him. He had also committed adultery. He had slept with another woman who was married. And now he's saying these things, "God, renew your spirit in me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." So the Spirit is active in the renewal of creation, making King David whole once again, even through sin and hardships and heartaches. And then the fourth one, in the Messiah. This one I love. When we're exiting the Old Testament, we talked about how there were prophecies about the Messiah, saying of who is to come, who will be, and what the Messiah will do. Isaiah 61:1, it says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." Talking about Jesus. Jesus is going to be empowered by the Spirit. And these prophecies say that all Jesus was going to do. And when we read in the book of John, when Jesus was baptized, they saw the Holy Spirit descending onto Jesus. And right after that, Jesus went right into ministry. And so in the Messiah, we see from the Old Testament that the Spirit plays a role in helping people notice and see when the Messiah was going to come. And so within God's story for humanity, for you and me today, can I tell you some good news? A lot of what we read in the Bible, it seems so different to us today. It should. It should. They didn't see things the way we do. They didn't have things the way we do. We have churches everywhere. The Bible is accessible by merely flipping through a couple apps. We are free to worship in a lot of places in the world. Some you're not allowed. But yet the Spirit is still working in the same way today that it worked throughout all of history. The Spirit's role in these four things, it's not much different to the role the Spirit plays today in us. We can take encouragement from these things and go, how do we see it now? How do we look at it now? Well, let me tell you, in that first one, creation. You see, God has created the world around us. In our world today, we can see this in so many ways. We can look outside at the beautiful mountains, at people. We can look at the trees, the grass, the seas. We can know that creation is good, but it also helps us know that we're designed for a purpose. We are not just a person on this world to live and die and move on to something else. That's not what we are here for. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Creation. Creating within you a new life. The Holy Spirit wants to create in you a new life that lets your old life be done and away with, to step into all these good things that God has for you. And like I said, after John the Baptist baptized Jesus, God told him, "The one on whom you see the Spirit descend, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And when physical baptisms, it's the same thing. We believe that when you go down, you're washed of your old life. And you come back into new life, new creation for who you are. There's new life that the Spirit brings into us, and in turn we become new in Christ and who He's made us. And then all the purpose and all the good, it all comes to sense. And you go, this is what life is about. And it's good. The second one, empowering individuals for service. Likewise, it's what Pastor Matt talked about. The Spirit empowers people for service. And how are we going to do the task set before us? Jesus said, go out into the nations, preach my good news, tell people about me. How are we going to do that? Can I be honest? That is intimidating to me. It is. There's so many people. You don't know how they're going to respond, what they're going to say. Are they going to be upset? Will they not? I don't know. But I can tell you this. It's not me doing it. It's not me. He wants to empower you to do the work he's called you to do, to give you the strength, to give you the courage, to take away fear, take away doubt, and say, I've got this. Just move, do, go. We will do it together, and I will help you. The verses we read this morning, that Nikki read this morning, was John 14:27, and it said this, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. What Jesus promised, he said, I know you're going to be scared to walk without me. I know you're going to feel like you can't do it, like you can't make it, but what I give you, you don't have to worry. It's encouraging to me to know that Jesus walked this earth with feet, with arms, with a heart, with a soul. He walked it to, and he knows our fears. He knows our doubts. He knows it looks impossible to our human eyes, but to his, he sees that we can do everything. And in our weakness, he will be made strong. The third one, the renewal of creation. Who God has called you to be is being constantly shaped and formed. It's not like I'm going to accept Jesus and I'm just going to stand here and be like, okay, I did it. I made my choice. Life can move on. No, he wants to do so much more with you. In Galatians, Paul writes this. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Saying yes to Jesus is the best thing that we could do. Saying no to our sinful nature is the second thing we got to do. It continues through our life. We have to constantly let Jesus renew the creation he made in us. We have to let the Holy Spirit renew who we are, change our ways, change how we see life, what we do, everything about it. And in that constant battle, if you let the Spirit win, if you say, Jesus, here's my heart broken, change me, continue to change me. If we can do that, your sinful nature, those desires, they'll leave, they'll flee. And it's hard to get to that place, let me tell you. I think it's a lifelong battle. But the more you do it, the more you will desire the things of God. The more you'll also see how good those things are. That when you get to share Jesus with somebody, the joy that brings. Or that when you get to spend time in your morning with him, and you get to just shut everything out and say, God, what do you say about me? And he speaks to you, and you feel his love. Those are the good things. Really good things. And then lastly, the Messiah. Jesus is the reason we are here today and have a chance to be closer to God than ever before. You see, the people in the Old Testament, they needed law sacrifices. They had to work so hard to do things, to make things happen, to get to that place. God's presence was in a temple. It was in a small area. And if you walked in, it would not be good for you. Only certain people were allowed to go into that place. Not anymore. Jesus is allowing us to go into his courts, to be as close as we can because the Father wants to be so close to you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be right near you, encouraging. And Jesus is the reason for it. It's in the air we breathe. The Holy Spirit is here. It's in the air that we breathe. It's in all creation we see around us. It's in the joy of serving others. It's in loving others. This is where we see God. This is where we see Jesus. And the Spirit shows that to us. In John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. See, Jesus unlocked for the disciples for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God's story shows the Holy Spirit at work in many different ways that are still being fulfilled today. And the best part is we have a relationship with God. This outpouring at Pentecost where the Spirit was given to his people, it shows how God has poured his Spirit onto all people. I can't emphasize it enough. It's not like the Holy Spirit is meant for some and not others. It's meant for every single one of us in this room. That when you choose to follow Jesus, it's not just something you can leave behind because maybe it's scary or spiritual or something like that. Our souls crave to be with him. They need the Holy Spirit. We were made to be like that, made to be with Jesus. And for those who accepted Jesus, all they had to do was receive. So Brandon, if you're around, I'd just love if the worship team could come back up. There's no rush. I got a little bit more to talk about. Because for our lives today, it's not a matter of whether the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. He is. It's a matter of whether we're aware the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. And I talk about this so often in my week because I look at culture and I go, yes, I'm only 27. There's so much for me to experience. But I look at our culture and I go, how can you see God when you're going a mile a minute? You're going to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to rush to get somewhere to try and do what life feels good about, to make money, to earn a living. Those are good things, good pursuits. But what are you going to give up in the way to it? You see, when we look at the Spirit's work in our lives, let me ask you these questions. These are questions I have to ask myself often because I want to be aware. I want to be so aware of the Spirit's work. Are we becoming people of love, or are we bickering and bad-talking that one coworker, for an example? Are we becoming people of peace, or are we going to just go home and rip someone a new one on social media for their beliefs and views, cause division, cause disunity? Are we becoming people of joy? Are we going to go home and just wallow in shame and negativity and all the bad that's happening in the world? God doesn't want that for you. He wants so much greater for you. And among many reasons of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives, the one I want to express to us today is that the Holy Spirit was given to his people at Pentecost, given to us so that we may become the people God has asked us to be. How cool is it when you get to go to someone and they're angry at you and you get to turn the other cheek and you see them switch? You see their whole personality go, oh, I wasn't expecting that. How cool is it to see someone who's weeping and broken and you get to share the love of Jesus? And maybe it's not even through words, but being available for them. God wants to change us to be who he wants us to be. And when we go so fast, we lose that awareness. The Israelites, they disobeyed time and time again. They were greedy, selfish, stagnant. And we're in a world where we just cannot be that. We have to throw selfishness aside. We have to throw greed aside. We have to become people of love, of peace, of joy. Look how much anger is in the world. I'm not scared about what's going to happen to me as a Christian. I'm scared about what's going to happen if I'm not living as a Christian. If I'm not living how Jesus wants me to be, what's going to happen? No one's going to do anything. No one's going to move. And it's not on me. That's the best part. Jesus will do it. The Holy Spirit will do it. God wants to continue to shape and transform your life. Accepting Jesus is only the start of this beautiful journey. And so to do this, I want us to just take a chance to end our service with looking to the Holy Spirit, opening our hearts, bringing our hearts before God. Saying, Jesus, what do you need to change? What do you need to remove? What do you need to take away so that I can be the person that you want me to be? And he'll respond. And this might not look like tongues of fire or a strong rushing wind. That's something I believe God really wanted those in that time to experience. And I'm not saying that that can't happen today, but they recognized it. They saw how different and it was needed for them in that time. What's needed for you today? For me, when I'm blessed with the touch of the Holy Spirit, it feels like a warm hug. It feels like God's wrapping his arms around me. It feels so good. There's been other moments of other things, but that always comes back to me. And oh, how I need it. Some I've heard been blessed with unbelievable peace, that they struggle with anxiety their whole life, and the Holy Spirit meets them and gives them peace for the first time they've ever felt it. Some, they feel true love for the first time. And I believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to meet us. I can't speak for the Holy Spirit, but what I can say is I think the Holy Spirit wants to meet us with what you need, to encourage us, to uplift us. That's only one of the beautiful roles in the mystery of the Holy Spirit that we may never understand. And what Peter tells us to do is this. He tells us this in Acts 2:38. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And so to end our service today, I'd encourage you, is God asking you to repent of your sins? Is there something he's saying, hey, I want to deal with that. I want to take that from you. And repent of your sins, all it means is to turn the other way. As fast as you can, to turn from your ways and to turn to God and give up all those things. And somewhere in history, we've learned that repenting of your sins can be a bad thing, and I don't know where that happened. But there's joy in it, you guys. To say what you've done, to say the bad that you have in your life, there's joy because there's so much good on the other side. And you're in a room of people who aren't going to judge you for it. I would hope. Because we're all the same. We all stand before God, him looking at us. And it can seem scary, but I encourage you, it will bring great joy. So today, the team's going to play one more song for us. The front is open. Prayer team, if you could also make yourselves available, whether at the front or at the back. If you don't know how to get to this place, there's those who have been there and want to go with you. They'll pray with you. Or if you just want to sit in your seat, the good news is the Holy Spirit's here. It's not limited to the front, the back, your seat, but sometimes taking that step to say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Jesus, I need you, can lead you to amazing places. No one's going to care what you look like. If your arms raised, face to the floor, do you want to meet Jesus today? Do you want to meet his Holy Spirit today? He's here. So let's go on to this last song. Stand if you want, sit if you want, but don't run. Don't run. Be bold, be brave, be courageous to receive this gift, because you can't give it back once you've received it. It's with you forever. And let's meet the Holy Spirit today.